I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm looking at the Guardian's website here, and Jared Kushner, of course, the son-in-law of President Trump, married to Ivanka Trump, and an advisor within the White House. I think it's fair to describe him as, well, the headline here, Jared Kushner discussed creating secret communications channel with Moscow. And that is according to reports. Now, we had a little bit of speculation, didn't we, last week ago, almost exactly a week ago, that there was, that he might be that person of special interest to an investigation into possible links between Russia and Trump's team. And we're going to be going across now to Washington and LBC's correspondent there, US correspondent Simon Marks, to get a little bit more on the detail. Just a tiny bit more from me first. Jared Kushner and Russia's ambassador to Washington allegedly discussed setting up a secret communications channel to cloak contacts between Moscow and Donald Trump's White House transition team. It was reported on Friday. Well, Simon, I think, is on the line, if I can find him. And Simon, you're right there. I'm used to fading people up myself, but you've faded yourself up, or you've been faded up by my wonderful producer, Anushka. Let me ask you this first of all. What exactly is it that Kushner is being accused of, as you understand it? And also, crucially, if it turns out to be true, is it illegal?
Well, look, it's 4:30 in the morning in Sicily, where Donald Trump is at the moment, and he is going to be waking up, Matt, to discover that the House of Trump is now very much ablaze here in Washington. We not only now know that Jared Kushner absolutely is the person of interest who has been in the investigative crosshairs, but we now know more about what he is alleged to have done. There are two reports here tonight. The first in the Washington Post, which has been sent in the post, the old snail mail, an anonymous informant has provided it with documents that show that Jared Kushner went to speak to the Russian ambassador after Donald Trump was elected president, before he was sworn into office at his inauguration, and proposed a secret channel of communications between the Trump team and the Russians that would, amazingly, have used Russian consulate and embassy communications equipment in a bid to avoid being surveilled by America's spy agencies. This was such an extraordinary request that, according to the Washington Post, even the Russian ambassador was taken aback by it and noted in his reports back to Moscow that he found it absolutely baffling that the Trump team was suggesting that they might be able to use encrypted communications tools that the Russians have at their disposal in their diplomatic facilities here. The second story that is causing grave problems for Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, has been published by the Reuters news agency within the last couple of hours, and it shows that Jared Kushner was engaged in previously undisclosed communications and and contacts with the Russian ambassador to the United States as long ago as last spring. Now, what is it that is illegal potentially in all of this? Well, it all boils down to a U.S. government form called the SF-86. That is the form that you fill out when you're entering government service at a very high level and you want to win security clearance. And if you do not disclose contacts that you've had with foreign officials, as Jared Kushner very evidently did not, then you run the risk of being jailed for lying on that form. So on the one hand, this is a story about what could be breathtaking naivety on the part of Jared Kushner, or possibly something more conspiratorial than that, this desire to engage in a conversation with Moscow using their encrypted communications tools. But this is also placing him in enormous legal jeopardy, because it appears absolutely clear that he was not fully disclosing the nature of his communications with Russian government officials when he completed and signed that form that he submitted in order to get security clearance to serve in his father-in-law's White House. And that's not a minor mistake in terms of filling out a form incorrectly and asking to do it over again. That is the kind of thing that can result in you being sent to jail. So he is in very grave jeopardy indeed tonight.
But Simon, isn't it also correct that it is forbidden when you're part of a transitional team to start up relationships with foreign governments or their representatives? Or have I got that wrong?
You're not entirely right. You're sort of half right there, Matt. There is a thing here called the Logan Act, and it prevents private citizens from engaging in acts of diplomacy. Now, look, when Donald Trump wins the election, or any president wins an election, it is perfectly normal and perfectly natural and perfectly justified for the people around the president-elect to begin communicating with those people in foreign governments with whom they will eventually be dealing. However, they are not supposed to be engaged in acts of diplomacy until they are officially in office.
Now, so how do you distinguish? How do you distinguish between those two things?
Well, if you are Jared Kushner or Donald Trump's fired national security advisor, it would it would be perfectly okay to call up the Russian ambassador and say, I'd like to introduce myself. We'd like to make plans for President Trump and Vladimir Putin to engage in a telephone call just as soon as the inauguration is over. Let's start, in other words, putting the wallpaper up and hanging the curtains on this relationship. But you would not be allowed to have a detailed conversation about, let's say, Syria policy or about changes in the U.S. approach towards the sanctions regime that is in place against Russia. Anything detailed like that would be a breach of the Logan Act.
And now, I suppose that is a question,
everybody.
That is a question, Simon, isn't it, of interpretation?
It is, and the Logan Act, I'm not sure that there has ever been a successful prosecution under the Logan Act. So this story here tonight is not about the meat and potatoes of the conversations that Jared Kushner reportedly had with the Russians, although there is no question that those are deeply curious and some would say alarming conversations if he was truly seeking to use Russian encrypted communications hardware.
Beyond surreal, isn't it? Just beyond surreal.
It is. There's simply no explanation for it. But let's put that to one side. This is not about the meat and potatoes of the conversation. It is about the failure to disclose that these conversations appear to have occurred when he put his form in and won security clearance to serve in the White House. And that is going to be a massive problem. His lawyer has said tonight that with regards to the conversations that Jared Kushner had, according to the Reuters news agency, allegedly had last spring with the Russian ambassador, Mr. Mr. Kushner simply doesn't recollect them. He made thousands of phone calls in that time period. So that's his current position. The White House has made no comment on any of these stories.
Just remind us, bring us again up to speed on where we are with the general investigation but into alleged links between Trump's team, his transition team or the team around him as he was campaigning, and Russia.
Well, there are plural investigations. What everybody now generally assumes is the main investigation is the one that is being headed by the newly appointed special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. That is the investigation that was previously being conducted by the FBI. Now special counsel Robert Mueller, a veteran, former FBI director, is heading that investigation up. But there are other investigations underway on Capitol Hill, at least three separate Senate and House of Representatives committees are investigating these alleged possible ties between the Trump team and the Russians. And in another development tonight, a leading Russian oligarch, very close to Vladimir Putin, a man by the name of Oleg Deripaska, has apparently offered to testify to one of those congressional committees in exchange for a grant of full immunity from prosecution. Now, at the moment, that offer is not being provided to him by lawmakers up on Capitol Hill because those lawmakers don't want to do anything that later confounds the actions of federal criminal investigators who might want to bring charges against Mr. Deripaska or any of his associates. But the fact that you've got a leading Russian oligarch close to Vladimir Putin offering to cooperate in the investigation into one of Donald Trump's close associates, his former campaign manager Paul Manafort, that will be taken as further very, very bad news for U.S. officials traveling with Donald Trump in Sicily.
And just finally, we talk about Donald Trump, you and I, so much. We've talked about him so many times over the past few months. And quite often we're talking about controversy. And yet he always seems to bounce back, not necessarily in the polls, but he has this uncanny way, it seems to me anyway, of getting away with things, or at least of reducing the heat in his kitchen, because there are plenty of allegations that are put to him that have not been proved. And Donald Trump has not been actually successfully accused of doing anything illegal. So how likely is it, do you think, that he will row back from this one, that he will survive this one?
Well, look, I think it's perfectly likely that he will survive over the short term. And I think it's also important to underscore the fact that this is a man who tore every page out of the political rule book last year, proved everyone, myself included, completely wrong about his chances of winning the presidency. And he retains the loyal support of core Trump voters all over the country, many of whom believe this is all a media conspiracy, a conspiracy by the Democratic Party to try and force him out of office. But the difficulty that he has here now is that multiple investigations are spinning away independently. All sorts of people are leaking all sorts of information to all sorts of reporters. And we're heading into a situation where these investigations are out of Donald Trump's control. And the more we learn, the more it becomes apparent that the smoke that is emanating from these investigations into communications between the Trump team and the Russians and the possible attempt to obstruct justice by the Trump White House, you know, the smoke is getting thicker and thicker and thicker, and a growing number of people on this side of the Atlantic and a growing number of investigators appear to be concluding that wherever that smoke is coming from, there's a fire somewhere at the heart of it.
And of course, the genius, you might say, of Donald Trump, or the nefarious genius to others, is that he has this perfect defence, doesn't he? The crooked media, the fake media. And if he trots that out time and time and time again, people start to believe it, or maybe they believed it all along.
He does, Matt, but it's been very interesting that in the last couple of weeks, on two separate occasions, publicly, Donald Trump has drawn a distinction between himself and the people who were running his campaign. I'm not under investigation, he has said. He knew, he claims, from the fired FBI director that he personally wasn't under investigation, but he wasn't speaking for the other members of the team. The problem he's got here tonight is that if indeed these investigations are going to snare and trip up Jared Kushner, his own son-in-law,
and an advisor,
then that becomes,
and an advisor,
and senior advisor. I mean, the man who's running virtually every aspect of policy inside Donald Trump's White House. At that point, the waters start washing around Donald Trump's ankles in a way that, you know, even King Canute might have had trouble pushing back.
Well, it's Groundhog Day, but absolutely fascinating talking to you, Simon. And thank you very much for giving us so much of your time.